Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And last time we had class, we talked in verse 18, and we were talking about prayer. And we determined in that class, and we talked a little bit about prayer is a humble request to God. Prayer is for us. It's not something necessarily that God needs us to pray. Prayer teaches us humility, and then we can cast our burdens on God through prayer. And then prayer is essential in resisting the devil. And so I think it's we have a few more things we need to touch on today, and obviously we're not doing quite an exhaustive study into prayer here. But kind of touching some basic stuff and some of the broad things talked about prayer and stuff like that. But we are prayer and petition in verse 18 is something that we need to have in our life and practice. Well, not just to do it, but because it's something that God designed for our benefit. So somebody want to read verse 18, please, of Ephesians chapter 6.
With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all of perseverance and petition for all saints.
Okay. So we're praying always in the authority of the Spirit. Okay, and so you need to understand that. We talked a little today in the sermon about how, you know, that a love for God produces humility, and it leads to wanting to serve God versus not a love for God seeks a desire to have glory for man. So prayer... We are praying all the time in the Spirit. We are carrying out through the Spirit. Let's turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And we were close to here last time. We talked about prayer. We talked a little bit about it today. And I want to remember that when we talked in the sermon today about how it's, you know, after the verse we're going to read in verse 3, you know, he talks about the friendship of the world is hostility towards God. And he talks about God's opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And submitting to God and resisting the devil, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, that he will exalt you. And all, you have to have that stuff in order to have an effective prayer life. But he's showing here in verse 3, I just want to read that, please, of James chapter 4. So their prayer wasn't something that they had for that they were using prayer as a means to get something and spend on themselves. They weren't using prayer how God designed it so that they can grow, or how God designed prayer to be able to talk to Him and cast the burdens on it, teaching us humility, you know, teaching us to humbly request from God. And so prayer to them, it was something that they had the wrong motives in. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. So I think one way we need to look at that is that we don't pray with wrong motives. You know, and we can ask the question, you know, how are we doing with that and stuff, and we'll do that later here. But Instead of just saying conceding to the fact that, oh, we're going to be doing this, we're going to pray this way, we should have the idea that we don't pray that way. Okay, so in Matthew chapter 7, someone want to read 7 through 11, please.
Fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?
Okay, so one thing I think this gives us a point on prayer is that first off that God wants to grant us our requests. So how do you balance that when you talk about not praying with the wrong motives to spend on your pleasures, but also being confident that God's going to grant the request? Because you see here that there is confidence here. Because he says, if then you being evil, in verse 11, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more should the Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? So if the world gives their children good gifts when they ask, how much more the Father? And he's showing confidence here. He's showing you we need to be confident when we pray, but we need to be having the right motives. So when you are asking and it be given to us, it's not asking in the wrong motives. It's not asking to spend on the pleasures. It can be asking for the benefit of the kingdom or the benefit of God or whatever it is so that we can grow. But we need to pray and be confident that God will answer that. And that's a part of God, because God will grant our requests if we have the right motives. If we have the right motives, but we're not sitting there, well, I wonder how this is going to be. I wonder if it's going to work out. Or I wonder if God can accomplish this. We have to be confident in doing that.
And I think, I've struggled with that a lot over the years. I think there's a fine line of, you talk about prayer and how it's a benefit to us. I think God enjoys it too because he has a relationship with us, sometimes we think, well, I don't want to pray for that, and I don't want to pray for that, and I don't want to pray for that because God don't want me to pray for that. I think we need to talk to God all the time, and so sometimes I've thought, well, I shouldn't pray for that because it's selfish, but I think it's important for us to communicate with God, and I think we really need to work on what our attitude is, like we've talked about all the time about everything. We need to have the right intentions, but sometimes we might skirt away from things we really should talk about because we think, oh, that might be too greedy or too. I think we need to just communicate with God. I think that's what it's about. Right. And that looks pretty selfish in Matthew chapter 7. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 7. Ask whatever you want, and he'll give it to you because he's a lot more gracious than the human being is. So he'll give, I guess it's really kind of a hard thing to deal with all the time. Mm-hmm. And when you look at like 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where it says pray without ceasing, we're supposed to pray all the time. And so we have to, I think it's important for us to talk to God about everything we do. That's what I think.
Yeah. Always being,
I don't know if that's wrong or right. That's my opinion.
Well, always being a mindset of communication with him. We're praying without ceasing, but where our mindset is that we are doing things to serve him versus serve ourselves. And that's why when we ask in those motives and that mindset, it's going to be given. Okay. Now, again, you can say, how come God didn't take the persecution away? Well, are we seeking to take the persecution away, or are we asking to get through the persecution? And so if we ask to get through the persecution, both is going to be accomplished eventually, and we'll get through it. We'll get through the persecution, and the persecution will be done away with, whether it's when he comes back or whatever. But if we're asked for the persecution to be taken away, we're not going to get through the persecution, and it might not be taken away unless we compromise into something. Now, I don't think it's wrong to, because Jesus also asked if there was a way to take the cup from him, but he was still willing to go through it if there wasn't. And so that's not wrong to want persecution to go away or to even ask God that way to do that if the motives are correct. if our motives are we want to do what God wants and serve him first, if it's not possible, help me get through it. But if you can take some away, please take it away so we can get through it. And so that's not wrong to ask. So it all depends on the motives of the person, on how they, you know, if they ask or they seek or they knock, whether they get or find, or if the door is open. And so it has to be on the right motives. Now you could use that door opening there for an example of opening to the gospel. And we have times where Paul was prohibited by the Holy Spirit from going to a certain place, so the doors weren't open. But Paul wanted to go there, but his motives were right, but sometimes that didn't always happen. Okay, even though the motives are right, sometimes the request isn't always given at that time, and then eventually maybe there's something that works out, or however it is, or maybe the people weren't ready to hear the message yet, and it would have been more beneficial for them to hear it later. So that's where we need to keep in our mindset of when we're asking and seeking and knocking and requesting from God, whether, you know, what's the best plan for the kingdom to move forward. And now that we have to have that mindset, when we ask for well, this, you know, it sounds selfish to ask for money, but sometimes things need money. And so that's not wrong to do that in the right motives. But when we start getting greedy and setting our treasures on earth so we can spend it on the pleasures, then that's when the wrong motives are, as he's talking about in James 4, when they're praying that way so that they can spend it on their pleasures. And so...
Paul asked about to get rid of his
storm.
Flesh.
Yep.
And then he accepted the fact that it wasn't going to happen.
Right. Basically. Yeah. No, it's true, yeah. So, and whatever that was, it still was some form of persecution and trial that he had. Let's turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. So I want to read 13 and 14, please. Okay, so again, we got this. It could look like selfishness, and that's why law doesn't establish righteousness. Because under law, if you ask for something that doesn't, the mindset of you, if you're asking for something that is not correct, then that's wrong, or it's if it's benefiting you, then it must be wrong. Anytime, even though there's times when it's wrong, when it's benefiting us and we're asking for that, but there's also times when that's right, when it's benefiting us because we have the mindset of wanting to serve the kingdom first. And so Jesus here says, ask anything in my name and it will be done for you. So we're praying in confidence there. Our prayer isn't that, well, I hope that God will accomplish this. He's saying, ask whatever in my name, and I will do it. So we're praying at all times in the Spirit, as he says in Ephesians 6, 18. Let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James 1, so I want to read verse 6 through 8, please. Okay, so double-minded could be a little bit more broad than prayer, but being double-minded, you're starting to doubt your prayer. So you're asking, thinking that God will do it, but not sure if he's actually going to do it. Okay, so you're double-minded. Your interests are mixed. You're not confident that he's going to do it, but maybe there's some chance that he's going to do it. Okay, so he is saying when he's praying there, you pray in faith, not doubting. So we can be kind of, you know, well, man, we're praying for this benefit to happen. But if we're in a doubt, then we're just like someone who's tossed, like the sea, the surf of the sea is tossed by the wind. Don't think we're going to expect anything from God like that. It might not even be seeking something for ourselves. We might be praying for something to happen for something else or for someone else, but really not sure if it's going to happen or not. Now, that doesn't mean that that person, you know, whether it's a persecution or a sickness, that means, doesn't mean that God won't heal that person. But again, going back to who prayer is for, it can be for the other person, but it's also for us in praying for the other person or praying for whatever the situation is. And so we can't expect that we're going to receive the benefit of prayer if we're asking doubtfully. We have to be confident that God is going to do what he says and ask in the right motives, knowing that he's going to give that in the right motives. Might not be right away, but eventually what God's purpose is going to be is going to be given. Now, you can say, well, like in Paul's thorn of the flesh, well, God didn't answer that prayer with a favorable answer, but God answered the prayer in a way that was beneficial towards Paul to help him grow. So that prayer, even though he asked it for it to be removed, doesn't mean that God doesn't mean that Paul had a bad motive in that. It means that God chose something a different way so that Paul could keep growing because his grace was sufficient. Let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. So we're praying with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And I notice the next word is the next phrase. It says, with this in view. Okay, now this here, the word for view is the word ice or ace is what the word is, and it means to, for, towards, into. And it's the word that's used in Acts 2:38 for the forgiveness of sins. Okay, now why does it say with this in view? Now, and it can be translated maybe correctly like that. I think you probably could translate it better. You can understand what it's saying there. But it could say, pray at all times in the Spirit, in the armor, if you will. Okay, well, it says it's translated with this in view, or it could be saying in Christ or in the armor. Okay, so if I'm praying, and my view is that I'm praying with the armor of God on, and praying with the right motives, my view is that I'm in the armor of God when I'm praying. Okay? And so that picture is a little different. Now, go back to Ephesians 6:12 there. Someone want to read that, please. Okay, so when Paul is saying pray in view or pray in this, he is praying in the mindset of that we are in the war. Okay, it's not a Quaker mentality. Even though prayer is a humble request to God, we are praying knowing that we are in a battle against not flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of wickedness. And so I want to continue verse 13 through 17, please.
Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Okay, so when Paul is saying, pray at all times in the Spirit, in this, and that's what that Greek, that's how the Greek is written there, in this or in these things. So he's praying with view that we're in a battle, but we're in a battle armored up with the proper armor, the breastplate, the proper footwear, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. We're praying with a battle mentality of that our prayers, and this is where it goes back to being confident here too, is that we can sit and again, it doesn't mean that it's not humbly when we do this, okay? Prayer is a humble request. We're relying on God and we're having faith that God is going to help us through it. And that's what prayer is helping us with, because it's for our benefit so that we can rely on God in that way, just like Jesus did, just like Jacob did, just like David did when they were going through those tough times, or Daniel, they were praying. Joseph could also be there too. They're praying so that God is helping them through that. But they're praying, and I think we need to pray. And if you read some of David's prayers, what's he praying for? He's praying that God wipes out his enemies. He's not praying for, he is praying for God to help him, but it doesn't sound like a very nice thing if you're praying for God to wipe out your enemies, but that's what David was praying for, and that's what Paul is saying here. We're praying in this view that we're in a battle, that we have armor on, that Satan is our enemy, and we're praying in this mindset that we have a battle going on. And in our prayers, we're praying for people to be rescued. We're praying that God helps us be victorious over our enemies and over the evil one. And so that's the mindset that we're praying there. It's not just something it's kind of a request I made to God, and I guess I'll let him handle it. Which, on one hand, it is true that God is going to handle it, but if we don't have the correct motives and if we don't have the confidence, don't expect God to be handling it, because he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it if we are doubting and just throwing it up, just doing it because that's our duty. He's going to do it because we're confident that he is going to answer the prayer, and that God, he wants to, for us to be victorious. When Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wasn't praying hoping that God could help him out. He was praying knowing that God could help him out. Even though he might have to get through something, God was going to help him through it. And that's the mindset he is praying there. He's not praying, well, I guess I'll do it because that's what we do when we're in tough times. And he was praying for his benefit, knowing that God was going to help him out and confident that God was going to do it, to help him overcome his enemies, whether that meant he didn't have to suffer or meant that he had to just go through it and God was going to help him through it. So in verse 18, the Greek word for alert, it says, pray at all times with this view, be on alert. Okay, the Greek word there means to be sleepless, wakeful, or staying vigilant. Okay, now this here is kind of a worldly mindset, is that you're praying and God will handle it. And I'm not saying that God doesn't handle it again, but we're praying on alert. We're praying with vigilance, so that we, and vigilant is to be on guard. Okay, we're praying in the mindset that there is evil. We're not naive to the fact that Satan wants to destroy us, and we're praying at all times in the Spirit, knowing that we're in war, on alert, or being vigilant, knowing and recognizing that there are problems, and we're asking God to help us get through the problems so we can overcome them. And at times, maybe we're asking God to help us with the problems, or to punish the wicked. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, it's not necessarily prayer the context here, But the idea still is that we're being on alert for a time. And if you look at, as in Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, take up all the armor so you can stand in the evil day, okay? There's an evil day that we are going to have to face, or evil days, multiple days. I'm not saying that's just one day towards the end of time. That's talking about the persecution that we, when we're confronted with persecution and temptation, we're going to be able to stand against it. But it also, this also applies to that, because this deals with not just kind of coasting along. This deals with get off the fence and get on this side, or you're going to be swept away with the judgment of God. So in verse 4 through 8 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, so I want to read that, please. That's good. Okay, so when he is instructing there, Paul here is instructing about being on alert. Okay, we're on alert. We're vigilant. We're looking for danger so that we're not swept away and led away to be sleepy or drunk spiritually, so we can stay sober and alert. And so we're praying with that mentality. We're praying that we are alert, that we're sleepless, in the mindset of being sleepless. We're praying wakeful, realizing what we're going against. We're praying vigilantly and confidently. Let's turn to Revelation 8. Revelation 8. To show here again the idea of being vigilant, okay? Because vigilance is, or alert. You're alert because danger is somewhere, and you're alert for it, okay? And it also goes back to having confidence that God will accomplish it when we're alert and when we have the right motives and we have the right mindset and we're humbly requesting that God help us with this. So in verse 8, and through the revelation of Jesus Christ, when it says those in heaven, it's talking about the saints, and it says those in earth, on earth, it's talking about the wicked. Someone want to read verse 3 through 5, please. Revelation 8. Okay, so the prayers of the saints are going up before God there on the golden altar, and there's an incense there that goes up, that the prayers of the saints are service, okay? Because the incense and the continual burnt offerings and so on was a service done by the priests in the temple, and that's what happens now. We are priests in the spiritual temple, and we are praying and doing other service there as well. But prayer is one of them. That goes up before God. So the prayers are going up before God. The smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God. And the angel took the censer and he filled it from the fire and he cast it to the earth. So the prayers of the saints, done in the right motives, confidently, vigilantly, on alert, go up before God, and God answers the prayers and punishes the wicked. The fire went back down to earth. from the altar, because the prayers went up before God. So God is that God will answer His people in the right motives when we're confident and we're on alert. Now, this is not just some happy prayer that happens here. Okay, this is that when he's something to the effect of God, you know, help us through the trial, punish the evil. We're going to be vigilant and get through this, but help us get through that. And they're praying on alert. They're praying vigilantly. They're praying confidently. They're praying with the right motives, because sooner or later, the wicked, well, they're God's children too. No, they're not. They're children of the devil. Yes, we can rescue them and we can preach to them, and that's truth. But if they will not answer, eventually God takes them out of the way. But He wants our participation in that. Not that we are bloodthirsty, but that we're asking God to help us get through this and you know, remove the obstacle, if you will, Lord, or whatever it is. But we confidently say that, and then God is going to do that, whether that happens tomorrow or whether it happens in a few years or whatever it is. God is going to help us through the obstacle and remove the obstacle. Even though there might be persecution and suffering, there's still, God is going to help us through that. And so we're praying vigilantly, like a shepherd who's vigilant seeks and watches out for the wolf and fights them and battles them to protect the sheep. So we're praying vigilantly with the view that we are in a war and that we have the armor on, and we can be confident that God is going to accomplish what we ask for if we're praying in the right motives, because we've been armored up already. And we're confident that God is going to do that because God is faithful. And we're asking the right motives because we want to serve Him. That's how we're asking. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. The next section there, you know, we're praying at all times in the view of being in a battle and in the armor, being on alert with vigilance, with all perseverance and petition for the saints. We need to have perseverance when we pray, because it doesn't always just happen physically right away, but we need to know that God is going to establish it sometime. Now, when we're praying in confidence and asking God something, if the answer, like in Paul's case about not getting the thorn of the flesh removed, it was for Paul's benefit that stay there. We need to understand that sometimes that's what God answers and that's what God allows, but it doesn't mean that God didn't help him get through the trial. See, Paul asked to be taken away. He didn't ask to not have the persecution necessarily in the motive that I just want to get rid of it and I don't want to suffer so much anymore. He was hoping that it could be getting rid of because it was burdening him and it was hard for him, but when he understood in praying in the right motives that God said, hey, my grace is sufficient for you, he understood that was the best situation. And so he knew that God was going to help him through that trial. So it needs to be perseverance. We need to know that we might not overcome tomorrow. Might not take perseverance to overcome. But also, we're praying for the saints. So we're praying unselfishly. Pray at all times with perseverance and petition for all the saints. Let's turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Someone want to read 1 through 3, please.
Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from the perverse and evil men, for not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful, who will strengthen and guard you from the evil one.
Okay, so Paul requests there that they pray for them. that the gospel be spread, and that they're delivered from the evil men. Okay, so it's not wrong to pray for deliverance there, to pray for the kingdom to be moving forward. In order for the kingdom to move forward, Paul and them had to be delivered from evil men at times. But in verse 3, he says, "But the Lord is faithful." So you see the confidence there. "And he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." So you see the confidence, you see the correct motives. You see asking in confidence. You see asking with perseverance, on alert, be with vigilance, and praying for the saints to accomplish the work of the kingdom. So prayer for the saints, pray for the saints knowing that the Lord is faithful, knowing that God is going to accomplish what he wants through whatever it is. So I got a little handout here. Here's some more. And we're going to kind of, if you got a pen handy, go ahead and take a pen. You can spread out if you want. And so we're gonna kind of go through a couple things here as far as prayer. And so with what we talked about, and I'll give you a couple minutes, or a minute or so with each question here. So the first one that I have written down is how can we pray with better motives? Is it what can we do for ourselves? And what mindset, or what and maybe in some ways, what should we eliminate from our mind? What should we take captive? And Paul talks about taking every thought captive. What should we take captive to get rid of so that we pray with better motives? So I'll give you a little bit of time there. Okay, and so if you don't like have something, don't like stress. But you know, some things could be, you know, like we kind of mentioned, a way that we could pray with better motives at times, or something that could help with that, so that we can is to not be selfish, or maybe even praying for someone else's benefit. Now, again, God wants us to He wants to give us things, and so it's not wrong to ask for things, but sometimes with the right motive, if we need to work on something like that, we can pray for someone else's benefit, even though it might not mean that our benefit or that our well-being is first there. Because there might be some instances where we pray for that we might have to go through a little more suffering for the benefit of someone else, and that motive in prayer then is developing the character that we want the God's will to be accomplished versus the easy road. So the next one then, how can we be more confident in prayer? Like what can we do to, what mindset can we have so that we are confident when we're praying instead of just throwing up a prayer that hopefully God answers? So let's give you a few seconds there. Okay, so you know, one thing that we I think can do in that is that we can look at how God was faithful in the past to those who asked him. But I think it's also, I think we need to get in our mindset that God desires to help us. He desires to hear us. And it's because if we don't think that God desires to hear us, we're not going to be very confident in our prayer. If it's just something that we are doing because, well, I guess we're told to do it, we're not going to be confident. Well, you know, God probably has a lot bigger problems than deal with my problems. And that sets the stage for not being confident. Because why should I go pray if God's not going to answer it anyway? It's a little too little for him, too little of a problem for him. So we need to understand that God wants to help us, I think, is a big part in that, where in being confident. Because if we don't think he wants to help us, then we're not going to be confident that he's going to answer it when we pray. Third one there is that, how can we view ourselves better when we pray? So what can we view ourselves, or what in what state can we view ourselves in when we pray that might be better than, because if we don't view ourselves correctly, we're going to start, well, what's prayer for? God's not going to answer it. So what can we view ourselves better, in what way, so that our prayers are effective? Yeah, I think a big view that we can have there is that if we don't view prayer as a valuable tool, then we're not going to use it like the tool it should be used. You know, and if we don't view ourselves as warriors, that's the thing to go on. Going back maybe a little bit to the question, or to the one before, is that God wants to help. We need to understand that God wants us to be victorious. And God has given us the tools, like prayer, to do great things. And so with that view, changing our mindset there, that God has given this to us so that we can overcome and so that we can accomplish the work that he set us out for, that's going to change our picture of when we pray and ask God for something. It's going to change our picture because God just didn't give us this thing so that we could go through a few dutiful details and just go through a law. He gave us prayer and things other and his other things we've talked about in today and in the past. But he's gave us prayer for a tool to use confidently with right motives, knowing that he wants to help us. So with that view, then that's going to change when we pray and when we're asked for something. If we think, well, you know, if we view it as, well, it's just something that God gave us. Or if we view it as God gave us this so that we can accomplish it and be confident when we ask, our prayer is going to come out differently and our heart's going to be in a different place when we pray like that versus, well, I guess prayer is just something that we do. So that picture in our mind is going to help us when we pray. Number four, how can we pray, or how can we be more alert when we pray? How can we be vigilant? What can we do in our lives and think about, you know, when we pray, or what can we think about, or maybe what problems need to be accomplished with God's help? Which you could probably say all of them. But what can we single out something that we that would allow us to be more alert? Okay. So there's a few different ways probably we could do something like this. So how can we be more alert? Well, we can be more alert by knowing some of the by knowing God's word. So as you think about it, if we're studying God's word, it's going to help us be more vigilant. It's going to help us be alert. Another thing that could help us be more alert, maybe stop a bad habit. Because if we're going to be alert and vigilant when we pray, the mind is battling the bad habit or desiring maybe the bad habit or whatever it is, and bad habit doesn't have to be extreme like getting drunk, but it could be something that's taking our focus off being alert when we're praying. So putting ourselves in situations where we can take those thoughts captive, where we can get rid of the distraction of the bad habits. And you could use this here as an example. I mean, this is an example, but let's just say someone was a recovered alcoholic and maybe it didn't affect them anymore, but going into praying in the bar is a distraction to them being vigilant about things when they're praying or being on alert. Now I know that's a weird example, but that could be applied to any bad habit or any habit. Our prayer and this is maybe a little bit why Jesus talks about going and shutting the door in a closet and praying like that. Now it doesn't mean that's where we only can pray is in our closet. But he's talking about getting rid of distractions so that we can be more alert. So getting rid of distractions, if we're studying the Word of God and letting God speak to us, is going to make us more alert. And getting rid of other distractions so we can communicate back with God in a vigilant way. Those are things we can do to be more alert. And think of ways that can be accomplished. Now maybe we try something and maybe it doesn't work as good. Maybe it works good enough, but maybe it could work better if we tweaked it a little bit. If we took time for prayer, someplace just to pray or however it is. Maybe praying through Scripture. Maybe looking at other prayers in the Bible of guys who prayed through trials or what they did. So there's just things that we can, we can tweak and help and promote a good habit of being alert in prayer. Number five, then the last one here is, how can we pray for the saints? What can we do to help our prayers be genuine for the kingdom? Okay. So how can we pray for the saints? What's a good tool or tools that could help our prayers for the saints? And I guess I think it first important and most is having a kingdom mindset. Because if we don't have a kingdom mindset, then we're not going to have the desire or love for the saints either. So if we don't love God, we're not going to love his children. Okay, and so the kingdom mindset, I think, is important. I think another way that can kind of start the good habit of that is pick a brother or sister to pray for. You know, specifically, it's easy to sit and say, pray for all the saints. But to specifically pick someone to pray for, it changes your mindset of you know, specifically of who you're praying for. And then maybe ask them about their needs. Because it that also can be generalized if it's, I pray for Larry today. Okay? But maybe there's specific needs that Larry has. And all of us have something that we could ask, have prayers for. And so sometimes praying for the saints, you know, when Paul says pray for us, he gave a reason. Pray for us that the gospel or the word may be proclaimed, that we may be delivered from the evil ones. Because not everyone has faith, he says. So there were specific needs that Paul was requesting prayer there for. So when we're praying for the saints, some obviously the kingdom mindset, you know, maybe pick a certain person, but understand and maybe try and you don't have, may not necessarily have to go ask them all the time. You can probably know some needs maybe just by knowing them, and that's part of having a relationship with them. So you don't have to specifically go say, "Hey, I want to pray for you. What's your struggles right now?" Because that also can be a little invasive, and maybe they're not going to tell you all the struggles, but you can kind of see in general by having a relationship with them. This goes back to relationship here, because if you don't have a relationship with them, you aren't going to know. But if you have a relationship, you're going to be able to know certain things without having to ask them specifically. And when we're praying specifically for those things, then it's meaningful, and it takes being on alert. It takes not being selfish, being confident, having the correct view, having the right motives. But it takes effort, so it's not just some repetitious thing that we've built. It takes effort when we specifically pray for someone and maybe some specific needs that they would need help with. Now, we can also do this even for ourselves, too. And ask God for that's not wrong to ask God for that either. But some of these things, and this again, this isn't really exhaustive, but just maybe some different tips to maybe help our prayer and having the correct view and being on alert and having the right motives, just to think about sometimes. You know, when we're sitting studying the scripture, you know, something else might pop up and be like, man, this is a good mindset to have when you're praying for someone. You know, notice one thing we didn't talk about here is it like maybe how can we pray to better overcome, you know, have a mindset that God wipe them out. I mean, that's not something that can be that confidence though that God wants us to have that he is going to remove the obstacles at times, but we need to have the confidence that and the kingdom first mindset that he is going to accomplish it and that he wants to help us. That's all I have for this morning. Actually, that's not all I have. Let's turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with our nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced fruit. Now notice there in verse 17, first or second, it says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Notice that he doesn't have the mindset there is that, man, I wonder if we could be like them. He says Elijah was a man that's like us. Okay, so that's going to help, that's going to change our view there as well. When he says one of the only guys, that one of two guys that didn't die because of how righteous he was and how much he did for the Lord is a man like us. That mindset changes then. And he talks about the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. That's talking about being confident in prayer, knowing that God is going to accomplish it. Because Elijah, and he gives the example of what Elijah did when he prayed and stopped the rain, and then he prayed again, and the sky opened. Because no one could think you could probably stop the rain for 3.5 years, and then after the 3.5 years it didn't rain, probably no one thought that you could pray and start the rain again either. So both seemed impossible at the time. But the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And so when we're going through and we're praying in with some of these tools that we talked about, how we can pray better and be more alert and with the right motives and so on, be more confident, we understand that God designed prayer to be effective, not just for something for us to do, just because we had nothing else to do. He designed prayer to be effective. And so the effective prayer of a righteous man with the right motives, being confident, with the correct view, being vigilant, and unselfish praying for others will accomplish much. Having a kingdom first mindset. Anybody have any comments or anything? Okay, well, we'll stop there this week and pick up again in Ephesians next week.